Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, I am in our nation's capital. While the boys are back in studio, I'm going to be here for the next 3 days. We've got some stuff to do, moving Frankie, so getting that done, but still able to enjoy Astros baseball. Lance, how about that? I mean, so good, even when you don't get a good start, to know that you can get a win here, that you can come back and get the offense going. I want to tell you, do you know what Aledmys Diaz's OPS was in July?
It was high. Had to be high.
Any idea?
900.
1,027.
Wow.
He was Yordanish.
Yeah, he was killing it. Now, I don't know how much you got the offense going so much as you did have a grand slam. You had 7 hits. They had 7 hits. One of them was a grand slam, but
how about coming up with a hit in a bit, you know, in a big situation?
Well, yeah, I mean, you had bases loaded, and you tied it up 4-4, and then you know you started plating some more. That was a nice inning with Jose Altuve with the sack fly by Yuli did a nice job. Altuve looked like it had gone yard. I mean, it was that fastball. Man, Perez was hopping it in there, and it was a tail on it, and he had some nasty. When he wasn't giving up hits, he was really, really, he had some good stuff. But, yeah, when they needed it, they got it late. They tied it up in one inning and then got it late. And then, they did their job down the road. There was a couple times I was a little worried for Will Smith after he balked. That was a little concerning. And then, Ryan Pressly had someone on off the bat. But they were able to do their jobs and it's good. It was good to see a win. It was, like you said, it was good to come back.
Well,
Urquidy just didn't have his stuff. Gave up 5 runs, and he was just, after a long run of really good starts, he just finally, had a bad one.
Well, listen, you beat Martin Perez, who you can't beat, okay? Dude is 9-3 this year with that loss. He was 9-2 coming in.
His stuff
Martin Perez
good.
Has been excellent, and he's been especially good against the Astros. He's an Astro killer. You know who else is? If you hold Adolis Garcia to one home run in a game, the Astros win. You just win if you're able to hold Adolis Garcia to just one home run. Because that dude is about as big a killer as who was the Brave? Brian Jordan. Was it Brian Jordan? He was an Astro killer.
Ron Gant was, yeah. Ron Gant was the Astros killer. Pujols was the all-time Astros killer.
Oh, yeah. No, well, that's Pujols. Yeah.
That doesn't even...
But the non-Hall of Famers. I don't think Adolis is going to the Hall of Fame. Not sure.
No.
But
do you think Cooper Kupp's going to the Hall of Fame?
I think Cooper Kupp has about 7 more years like last year, and he will, yes.
Okay. We're gonna get into that later in the show.
Okay. Yeah, there was quite the argument about it.
There were stern talkings, too, during a TV argument where someone had to put someone else in their place, and it was, TV.
There's a lot of news. There's a lot of stuff going on that we have to get to today, including Roger Goodell coming down hard on Deshaun Watson. We got a lot of Davis Mills sound that we are going to get to. A lot of some big, big LIV Golf news. Not just LIV Golf news, some big LIV Golf news that's going to certainly hurt the tour even more. And Dan Campbell is going to beat some ass, okay? How about that Billy Lucci and Dan Campbell? That was something that we learned yesterday that we didn't know. That Dan Campbell, who else? Shane Lechler, and who was the other guy that they... Oh, and Seth McKinney all lived together.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't know that, and Billy Lucci told us that. How Lucci's with those guys, I have no idea.
I know, right?
Was he a walk-on or something?
He was there. He was their mascot or something. I don't know.
I don't know how it happened.
They all loved Lucci. right? And Luch started the Texags, and look at them now, all grown up and scruffy. So what? But that's just, you know, you got to have those kind of games, Lance. You just got to not 3-1, not 7-5. You're getting your hiney handed to you. It's 4-0, and here comes, and you come up with a big inning. That's just good stuff, especially against this team, because they just don't get up against the Lambs. They just don't. And, you know, for them to beat the Texas, which is it's unbelievable, actually, if you want to know the truth. So you got three against Texas here. You got Oakland as well. These are teams to destroy you because they're Lambs, because you can't get up for them. The good news is that you're home doing it. You go to their parks and where it's dead, and you just can't have any. You have zero energy in their buildings. Yeah. So, yeah, that there's certainly something to that.
Yeah. And, you just want to – any time that you have a mental block or you just have a performance barrier, you want to be able to crack that. And the Astros, as an organization, it seems like more than any of the other Houston organizations that I've followed since growing up here, they're the ones that you can point to certain teams where they just – there's just certain teams that they struggle against, whether it's a good team like the Atlanta Braves or teams that, you know, aren't nearly as good as them. Like we've seen, you know, at times with the A's, at times with the Rangers, and a lot of times, you know, you've dominated the Rangers. But there's just been certain teams, even in really, really good, especially in really good seasons, where you just say, this doesn't make any sense. Why would you struggle? You remember the Astros of the 2000s that couldn't beat a guy the first time they saw him. I mean, the first time they saw a pitcher, you might as well get ready for a two-hitter because they weren't beating this guy. A rookie.
No.
You know, a guy who should not be dominating them, forget about it. They were almost always dominated by first-time starters.
Lance, do you have any idea who has the best record in the American League right now?
Is it really us?
Tied with the Yankees.
Boy,
Seattle.
The Yankees are on a terrible run.
Oh no! They've lost one in a row. They won one. They got to. The Astros were a half game back while the Astros were off.
They've lost
the Yankees.
Like 7 of 8, I think.
Yeah, while the Astros, they're 3-7 in their last 10.
Okay.
While the Astros were off on Monday night, the Yankees won, so they're a full game up going into last night's game. But the Mariners beat them in a Cole start, in a Kermit Cole start. The Mariners beat them 1-0 in 13 innings. So that after the Astros win, both teams now 71-40. If you'd have told me that on August 10th, the Astros back in June, if you'd have told me on August 10th that the Astros would be tied for the best record in the American League, I said, you're nuts, because it's just the Yankees were that dominant early on, and now they're starting. And boy, Yankee fan is so distraught right now with this team. Listen, the Astros are their daddy. It's going to be tough in the postseason. There's no question about it.
Right.
But the Yankees are reeling and just can't pull themselves out of this thing, and it just can't be any nicer. They still have a 10.5 game lead over Toronto. Hey, the Toronto is 60-50. The Mariners are 60-52. Just a one game lead over the Blue Jays have just a one game lead over the Mariners for the first wild card spot, and then after that, it's Tampa with at 58-51. So the Mariners are playing some good ball. 8 games over .500. They're getting into the postseason. They're going to be a tough out. They're going to be a tough out, which is why you need to get that home field advantage. You know what? Good luck with. I'm telling you, the Mariners are going to be a tough out in the first. Cleveland and Minnesota now tied in the Central at 57-52. 57-52 in the AL West would be 14.5 games out. That's how bad the Central is. You
wow.
never know in a short series what's going to happen, but man, oh man, oh man, it's just that's not good baseball. The best baseball being played: Astros, Yankees, and Dodgers. Astros, Yankees,
same,
Dodgers,
same
and Mets.
Same teams all year. Same teams all year. Nothing's changed.
Yep, Mets, Yankees,
Dodgers, Astros. That's pretty much. It's been primarily those four teams.
Well, and the Cardinals have come on strong.
The Cardinals swept the Yankees this weekend.
Yeah, they swept the Yankees this weekend. Yeah. They got a one-game lead.
Cardinals have come on. Seattle's playing really good baseball over, since the second half of the season. There's some teams that get hot, but from a season-long standpoint, it's been those teams. And did you see what happened with the Boston Red Sox? This is a team fighting for a wild card spot. Chris Sale. Do you remember the Tiki statue and the Brady Bunch? That anybody that had the Tiki statue, something bad was going to happen? Well, this guy's never given it up. He's had broken ribs. He's had so many injuries. I'll go through them, but his latest one is he fell off a bike and broke his wrist. He had surgery. He's out for the year. Last year, he pitched less than 50 innings. This year, he pitched less than 6 innings. I mean, you want to talk about the sleeping bag, a guy who's just stealing money right now. Chris Sale, 2 consecutive years of absolute thievery.
Fell off a bike. Is he was he out riding with Joe Biden?
Off of a bike.
How are you falling off of a bike as a grown man and breaking your wrist?
Well, that's when it's going to happen. If you do fall off as a kid, you're going to be fine. You fall off as a grown man, get ready to break something.
Was he given a pump?
No, if you were given a pump, he'd be fine. It'd be the guy getting the guy who was on the spokes, not the spokes, but the pegs.
The handlebars?
The guy that was standing on the pegs. Or, back in the day, it would have been the high handlebars.
Yeah, you're sitting on the handlebars? Getting
he
a pump?
He could have broken. If he was on the handlebars, he could have broken a wrist. Absolutely.
If he was on, but maybe he was. Did we get some details? Was he getting a pump or was he given a pump?
Do
you get a pump? Is that what you say?
I don't think it doesn't say anything in there that he was given another teammate or whatever a pump or getting one. It doesn't say that.
It doesn't say whether he was getting or giving a pump.
Right.
Right. Okay.
According to what you say.
Right.
According to what you say. This is why we're not in the Radio Hall of Fame.
That Ken Hoffman pointed out
that
we should
be. This is why
we're
not in the Radio Hall of Fame. This is why everybody can be. If you worked at a promo department at any point, you can be in there. If you have a restaurant, if your parents have a restaurant, you can be in the Radio Hall of Fame. But this is why radio people don't like us, because we'll do stuff like this willingly and gladly.
Right.
And they don't. That's not the way radio's supposed to sound. Radio's supposed to sound like this. And you're supposed to have a little guy on your show called Chuckles. Like, yeah, y'all are lazy.
Radio. That's how it's supposed to sound. Right?
Say, where'd you guys go to school? Do you do any kind of really cool radio bits? Do you let me hear your voice. Do your radio voice.
Like, here it is. Shut up. So when we come back, don't go anywhere. When we come back, we will have the Texans' unofficial depth chart. And we'll hear from the quarterback, Davis Mills, next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I want to talk about my friend, Doc Linville. I'm going to tell you what, Doc Linville is the best. If you're looking for some hair, Doc Linville is here for you. That's all you got to do. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com and see my good friend, Doc Linville, because he's the best. He's going to give you that hair. He's going to take it from the back, and he's going to put that hair on top for you. That's what Doc Linville does. So if you're looking for hair, everybody out there in radio land, all you got to do is go to 975hair.com. You're going to get hair. Hair is beautiful. Hair is wonderful. There's nothing wrong with hair. Move it from the side to the top greatest of ease right now at Doc Linville's 975hair.com. I'm telling you, it is a great process and you'll love it. 975hair.com. You're looking for hair? 975hair.com.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by GovCost, Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm in Washington, Lance is in Houston, and we are talking Texans football. That's what everybody here is doing. I was listening to the radio here, and everybody's talking, what's going to go on with Davis Mills? What do you think about that fifth wide receiver for the Texans? Is it going to be Philip Dorsett? Is it going to be Chad Beebe? He's having a good camp. Everybody's talking about it right now. The unofficial depth chart came out yesterday. Davis Mills is your starting quarterback. Marlon Mack is your starting running back. Questenberry or Andy Janovich is your fullback, which won't happen anyway. It doesn't really matter. I don't know how much fullback they'll play, but whatever.
Well, with Pep,
Brandon Cook.
With Pep, with Pep they could. Not a ton.
We'll see.
Not a ton.
We'll see. Yeah, I mean, Brevin Jordan ain't going to be in much on running plays, right?
I mean, you don't want to be that much of a tell or one guy not in, it's a run play.
So right.
He will, and he'll just have to, keep getting better as a blocker.
Well, if you go, in passing situations, if you go three wide and instead, you slot Brevin Jordan instead of Chris Conley or Chris Moore or whatever,
I mean, if you're in 12 personnel, which is two tight end, that is a lot of times a running formation, but to be able to throw out of it is also good because it keeps teams off balance. But yeah,
or even if you're in 11 and he's flexed out,
No.
I mean, he he's not much of a run blocker, but so we'll see what happens.
I don't think he should be in on 11, and here's why. In 11, you've already got three wide receivers. If you're in 11 and you've got him in the game, I still think he'll be on the line of scrimmage. But you're right. Yeah. It may very well just be a passing play.
Right. I mean, you can send four guys out, so he might be one of those guys. I mean, you might feel like he's better than your fourth wide receiver option. Farrell Brown is your starter. Farrell Brown, there's been a lot of talk about Farrell Brown this preseason.
Especially by Farrell Brown.
Well, Farrell Brown loves him some Farrell
Brown.
You know
what?
Talked
a lot about Farrell Brown this offseason.
Right, but he's also been backing it up in camp by all accounts. So, good for Farrell Brown. Hey, I love that. I think I'm a Hall of Famer. Do I? You know what? I'm going to say it. So, That's good on Farrell Brown. He's coming in with a great attitude that he's going to play great football this year. And you know what? He's showing it in camp, and he's got him winning himself a starting job right now. Here's the line. It's very interesting. Tunsil and Howard at the tackles. That's no surprise. Britt at the center. And then the guards are Justin McCray and A.J. Cann, with Kenyon Green backing up Justin McCray. Now, he's doing this right now because Kenyon Green has been banged up.
Yeah.
There was some talk, is Kenyon Green out of shape? Did he come in out of shape? Did he come in? Is the injury because he's not in good shape? Well, what's the deal with Kenyon Green? Well, whatever the deal is, Kenyon Green is going to be a starter for this football team.
May not be at the
start of the season, though.
Well, unless he's hurt for another couple weeks, I'll bet you Kenyon Green's starting.
More than likely, right? More
I mean, as long as he makes it, as long as he's healthy on the field taking reps, he's substantially better than Justin McCray. I mean, substantially better. It's not close.
Well, he's the 15th overall pick.
Yeah.
Seeing him as a second teamer right now in camp is a little disconcerting.
Yeah, but Breece Hall was listed as the third running back over at the Jets. That's a rookie thing. You're not healthy. We're not just going to give you the starting job. Kenyon Green out. Kenyon Green will be the starter with A.J. Green.
Yeah.
AJ Green.
The only two rookie starters on defense, Stingley and Jalen Petrie. And deservedly so. But Kenyon Green is going to be a starter as well. What's interesting defensively is the linebacker situation. Grugier Hill, Christian Kirksey, Kevin Pierre-Louis are your three starting linebackers, with Christian Harris as a backup. That is probably going to be the case early on. Christian Harris is going to get some starts, but probably early on he will not. Steven Nelson is beating out Tavier Thomas right now as that corner. What's going to be interesting is if it's going to be Tavier Thomas, Tavier Thomas, or Desmond King as the nickel.
Uh-huh.
That's going to be the interesting thing. Jonathan Owens is actually beating out Terrence Brooks and Eric Murray as a starting safety alongside Jalen Petrie. And your defensive line is Jonathan Grenard, Malik Collins, Roy Lopez, and Jerry Hughes.
I wonder if Eric Murray's in some trouble. I've got to see how the contract is structured, but he may end up being a cap cut that you can save some money with. You know what I mean? He has not been the player that they had hoped for.
Yeah, I mean, I just keep on going back to him in the slot on Devontae Adams, and just like,
well, that was just
not
poor,
last year, but that was
that was just
awful.
That was Anthony Weaver's defense. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, Anthony, what are you doing? And goodness gracious, one shot, and you're putting – you have one shot as a DC, and you're putting Eric Murray on Davante Adams one-on-one? cover zero? Really?
Murray has a fully guaranteed Eric Murray has a fully guaranteed 2022 salary of $2.5 million. He gets a $250,000 per game roster bonus. So his cap hit is $4.86 million. I could see him, if he doesn't, you know, if he's not a starter, he might be one of those guys where the Texans say, you know what, let's just shave off $2.3 million here, you know, even though the $2.5 million is guaranteed. So that one really could be interesting. In 2020, well, it's a two-year deal starting in 2022. In 2023, the base salary is $3.75 million with none of it guaranteed. So you know what? That's right. They re-signed him after this year, so he's going to make the team this year. I forgot that he got another contract. That was staggering. He was better last year than the year before. But so, yeah, Eric Murray will definitely make the team this year. They just signed him, even though they theoretically could – well, the cap hit would be 2.5, but and they've got bonuses that he's going to – but he's got roster bonuses. I wonder if that counts as – gets a 250 per game roster bonus. I wonder if that counts if he's not active. That's something I'm curious about that.
Well, no, roster is just making
on the roster. Yeah, it should be. But why are you doing it per game?
No.
Well, regardless, why am I spending this much time on Eric Murray?
I have no idea.
Yeah, Eric Murray does not.
You got into the Eric Murray contract rabbit hole, which is the first time anyone has done that.
That's a bad rabbit hole to be in. Roy Lopez is a starter defensive tackle. Really is a testament to his. Toughness, work ethic. You know, Ross Blacklock, here's Eric Murray. I mean, rather, here's Roy Lopez, who was a sixth-round pick, versus Ross Blacklock, a heralded second-round pick. And I understand that Ross Blacklock is playing, you know, three technique where Malik Collins is playing. But one of them is a starter and one of them isn't. Michael Dwumfor, I remember writing him up. He was an undrafted free. He's also a backup behind the nose. They've got room to get better at the nose. Thomas Booker, who was who's a rookie who I wasn't as high on personally. Well, actually, I thought he was okay, like fourth, fifth round guy. And that's about where he is listed on the depth chart right now. He's listed as a third teamer, but I could see him being a second teamer early on in this season. Anything surprise you? I mean, everyone raves about Jalen Petrie. That's not a surprise. Stingley's first rounder, not a surprise. Is Christian Harris being on the second team a surprise to you at all?
No, not at all a surprise. I do fully expect him to be up there and the first team. And you know, hell, Garrett Wallow got two starts last year.
So there's some interesting guys on the depth chart. I got to tell you, this cornerback and safety group is filled with very interesting players from their
background. Yeah, listen, he said, you know, our best position is tackle with Tunsil and Howard. Okay, but I'm going to tell you what. The corners aren't bad at all, and the safeties aren't too bad either.
They've got kind of early round washouts across the board on their in their secondary. I'm looking at these names, and it's across the board. And I think what they're hoping to do is catch lightning. You know, catch a little scratch off ticket for a guy who was a height, weight, speed guy. You look at Kendall Sheffield. I didn't love Kendall. I know his agents. He was tremendously fast. I thought he should have stayed in school. He washed out after a couple years, but he's on the Texans roster at corner. Fabian Moreau, another guy I wasn't real jazzed about, but he's a press corner, kind of tight hip, but can run fast in the straight line. Big guy. They've got him at corner. Tre'Mon Smith, another very fast guy, is at the cornerback position. Isaac Yiadom was a day two selection, I believe, from Boston College, but they've already talked about how he's a special teams player and I think he's going to make it in special teams. MJ Stewart was a cornerback term safety from North Carolina who had some talent, just lacked some speed. Graylon Arnold from Baylor, really talented playmaker and very instinctive, just not very fast and had tremendous injury issues. But Tristan McCollum was a workout warrior who was tough, but he's probably going to be I think he's going to end up being a practice squad guy. There is some interesting talent here in the secondary for the Texans, like guys who have pedigrees that have not worked out. And it looks like the Texans are saying, hey, let's just go get somebody with traits who we can try to revive as a reclamation project. That's what it looks like. It's interesting to watch how the Texans had the roster depth look before with just kind of a bunch of nobodies. And then now what Nick Caserio and Lipford and those guys are doing is they're grabbing guys with height, weight, speed, length, who have been heralded in the past and coveted, but maybe didn't work out. And they're saying, let's just see if there's something there that we can find. That's what it looks like on defense. Because a lot of these guys had some juice, or they had something, you know, had some heat behind them close to draft day. It's really impressive seeing all these names, but not impressive when you think, well, they're not with the teams who drafted them, so something must be wrong.
Yep. All right, when we come back, we'll hear from Davis Mills was on with Pat McAfee. We'll play some of that.
We've also got talked about Davis Mills.
I know, right?
No one's talking about Davis Mills lately.
Davis Mills is getting a lot of love.
Did you hear what happened to Davis Mills? He made it in Radio Hall of Fame.
Oh, no, he's not in the Radio Hall
of Fame. No, after this interview, he made it in Radio
Hall
of Fame.
Well, maybe because he's getting that much play time. He's got more than we do in 25 years.
Yeah, he made it in Radio Hall of Fame along with somebody who answers phones and says, hey, there's a caller on line 3. Will Wimpleton made a Radio Hall of Fame. He was on 93Q at one point and answered phones.
What's easier
to
make?
Radio Hall
of Fame? The Basketball Hall of Fame or the Texas Radio Hall of Fame?
All right, what's easier to make? Texas Radio Hall of Fame or the Pro Bowl when you're an alternate?
Ooh, that's tough. I'll tell you what, we'll hear from him. We'll also hear Roger Goodell talking about Deshaun Watson on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But you want to get to two-stepping? You can get a two-stepping good time. Get to Lafayette, and you can get that. You want to have a girls' getaway, which is close and yet a lot of fun. There's great nightlife there, girls. You girls can get down there. It's just 3 hours down the road. It's just some gas. You don't have to fly anywhere. Have yourself a big time. You got one-day must-sees there. You can be Cajun for a day. You got Hub City day trips. Lafayette's the Hub City. Lafayette. is just so much fun. You got an Azalea Trail you can see. You can get to Avery Island, see how Tabasco is made. You got all kinds of stuff. Do you want to take a trip down the bayou? You can do that as well. All kinds of great stuff to do. I don't have to convince you to get to Lafayette. What I want to tell you is that you got a campaign going on right now that's called Eat Lafayette. EatLafayette.com is where you find it, and it's all kinds of restaurants that are participating in you going to Lafayette and getting discount food there. Going to really great Cajun restaurants and really fun, really unbelievably delicious food. If you're a foodie, this is a great, great little trip for you to go find some Cajun, wonderful, wonderful Cajun food and cuisine right now for you in Lafayette. And listen, if you're looking for just good times, because there's always something, there's always music, there's always a great nightlife in Lafayette, go to eatlafayette.com and see for yourself. Eatlafayette.com. That's eatlafayette.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Fun. Sports.
A friend of mine asked me to say some MC rhyme, so I said this rhyme I'm about to say. The rhyme was there, but then it went this way.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, just cleaning some stuff up from last segment talking about the Texans depth chart. One of the reasons that Christian Harris may not be on as a starter is he's missed his third straight practice now. they haven't disclosed what's wrong with him, but Christian Harris missed his third straight practice. How about Darius Anderson? He dislocated his knee, done for the season. He had that incident in the off season where he was accused of breaking and entering a possible a rape attempt, but we'll see how that works out for him. Apparently the Texans didn't felt like they believed him and thought that, you know, I don't want to say they believed him, but they obviously felt that he was good enough to be on the team until he dislocated his knee and is done for the season. He's getting surgery. Tytus Howard came back. He has been fighting COVID, so he was noticeably winded. And other than that, Rex Burkhead and Derek Stingley got in a little shoving match, and Jalen Petrie came to the defense. So they're getting a little feisty, and that's just fine. That all happened. And Davis Mills was on with Pat McAfee and Davis Mills was asked about the confidence. We've talked about this before, his confidence, knowing that he's a starter. You know, you just don't get Jimmy Garoppolo to come over here and sit behind him when you're trying to see if the kid can play. The kid has been all offseason knowing that he's the starter, and that's built a lot of confidence, and he told that to Pat McAfee.
Coming into it, knowing you're the guy, the assurance you have from your teammates and the coaches in the offseason kind of allows you to go out there and play a little more free. Obviously, second year in the league, you pick up on a lot of things that you didn't know beforehand, so kind of getting thrown in there early last season. It's kind of thrown in the fire, but as you start to settle down, you're able to get comfortable and go out there and play confident. I really feel like I've done that leading up this whole offseason, leading into camp, so I feel like I'm in a really good spot right now, and I think the team's clicking, so we're excited for it.
He's got a lot of confidence. He's got a lot of poise. We talked about that. He also talked about never being worried about not being good enough, even though he was a third rounder, whatever number. How many quarterbacks were taken in front of him? Five, six?
It would have been, since you had Mond, you had the three, you had Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Trevor.
Mac Jones.
Trevor, Mac, Mond, and so he'd have been seventh. Mond and Kyle Trask, he'd have been the seventh quarterback.
So and yet, here he is. I mean, he was the number one quarterback coming out of high school, number one pocket passer coming out of high school. So, I mean, he's got the pedigree. He says, I was never worried about being good enough.
I mean, I think I've always been extremely confident myself. I was told at a young age, basically, there's a fine line between confident and cockiness, and you want to be dancing on it. Obviously, you want to be on the confident side, but, I mean, I've always had full trust in my abilities, and I'm ready to just go out there and perform and show everyone what I can do.
Lance, who's he? I just want to go out there with confidence. And who does he sound like?
I don't know. Who should I? I don't know. I don't get one.
Play that again. Play that again, RJ.
I mean, I think I've always been extremely confident myself. I was told at a young age, basically, there's a fine line between confident and cockiness, and you want to be dancing on it. Obviously, you want to be on the confident side. But I mean, I've always had full trust in my abilities, and I'm ready to just go out there and perform and show everyone what I can do.
Why are you cackling?
I don't know. He said he wanted to dance on the line. Who does he sound like to you?
I don't know. Just you're gonna have to do a Davis Mills on a mobile at some point.
Are we really calling him? Somebody called him Money Mills. That's not really what we're calling him, right?
Money Mills.
Are we calling?
Don't
him
you
money?
Have to win some titles first before you become money?
I'm gonna wait on that. You look how Danny Dimes is already like that. Already looks terrible.
Oh, how's
Danny Dimes?
He's Danny.
Come
Pennies.
On, that guy's just trying to hang on. He's just trying to hang on to a job
we
now.
Don't need.
I'm
no,
gonna wait on if. Mills can.
He's Millsy.
Mills, yeah. No, I hate that too. That's corny Astros.
He's Millsy.
Mills can play well. If he can play well this year, I mean really well, then I'll give in to Money Mills. I'm not calling him Money Mills. Like the hype train on Dave. I'm just telling you now. This hype train on Davis Mills. I said something to Dan Parr, who's one of my editors. We were talking about Davis Mills, and I said, man, there's a lot of hype. He goes, yeah. I wanted to see if he had heard, if, you know, an outside perspective. He's a guy who's an editor for NFL.com. He lives in Chicago. I just wondered if he had kind of, if that was his take on it too. And he agreed. He's like, yeah, man, there's a lot of stuff on this Davis Mills guy, on Davis Mills all of a sudden. And I'm, and man, it's just the buildup. I really hope that guy balls out because the buildup for him has just been substantial. And I don't think it's relative to the play on the field. Like, he was solid last year. Solid with a couple flashes, but it's almost like we're talking, I mean, he's being hyped up more than a guy who was solid the second half of the season with some flash games sandwiched along with some bad ones. That's not what it seems like. What it seems like is this guy is the truth. This is the real deal. And he may end up being it. I don't think what we saw on the field is makes you definitive in believing that. Not me. I'm not definitive in believing it. I need to see more. And I'm sure as hell not calling him Money Mills unless it's, you know, ironically. He's got to do more for me to get on that path.
Isn't it? That's Floyd Mayweather. Didn't Floyd Mayweather win a bunch of titles? Don't you have to win first and stuff before you get money attached to you?
Or you just have to have a good
preseason.
You see what he
camp.
Did to the Chargers and the Rams in the second half of the game when they were getting slaughtered? Yeah, I also saw the Niners game, the Buffalo Bills game, and both Colts games. Let's just let this play out a little bit. I feel hopeful. I have some hope for him, but I'm not ready to anoint him. There's some crowning going on. People want to crown his ass. But there's some crowning going on right now at Davis Mills.
We do have to slow that Davis Mills train, although I want him confident. Now, he did say, you mentioned the Buffalo Bills game. It was only, that was like the fourth game of the year, right? I mean, and, you know, Terod had just gone down in the second game against Cleveland. So,
yeah,
you know,
was
Davis
tough.
Mills
was
is thrust into that. He shouldn't have been starting by then.
Well,
but that was a 40-0 blowout. And actually, Lovey talked about that with the team in the office. Remember that feeling, because you'd never want to feel like that again. And Davis Mills acknowledged that was the low point so far for him.
I think the low point was the Buffalo Bills game early in the season where I thought I was seeing certain things and ended up being the exact opposite, and I was giving the ball away. But I think once I went in there later in the season, you're able to kind of pull from the reps earlier in the season where you're seeing things that defense are trying to do disguise-wise and just go out there and attack and, I mean, really just see the space that defenses are giving up in coverages or in man and really attack that and letting your playmakers on the edge win for you.
Yeah, he does have a little thing. He does have some kind of accent going on.
Not a Sean Payne.
What they're doing there. Yeah, I'm going to have to work on that. I'm going to have to listen to that a little bit more.
Yeah, you're
going to here's some nicknames I don't love.
A Millsy on a mobile.
I don't love Mid Mills. You don't want to call him Mid.
No, we don't want Mid Mills. The last thing we want is Mid Mills.
Do you know whenever I was driving in the mountains on vacation, I said, and I just out of nowhere, I said, driving in the mountains is so mid. My kids busted out laughing hysterically for at least 2 minutes. How do you know what mid is? Like, how do you know what mid is? Unfortunately, General Mills is going to stick. It could. No, mama call him Neck. I'm going to call him Neck. His mama doesn't call him Neck. How about
Mundane
Mills?
His mama could have
called
him Neck. You don't know. His mama said he needs to get a turtleneck. Told him that he should get a turtleneck a sponsorship.
Deal. Yeah, she's a realist. I don't believe in calling him Mundane Mills, and I certainly hope I don't call him Mid Mills, and I'm definitely not calling him General Mills.
No, the general is he? That's John McClane. We don't touch that. We do not touch that in Houston.
Colonel
that's
Davis Mills of the Confederacy. That's what it sounds like. Davis Mills was involved in some squeamishes.
Okay. So I don't know if you've seen it.
Tiger Woods. Well, hold on. Did you think he sounds like Tiger Woods? Another Stanford guy, Black Bauer, wants to know if you think if Tiger
well,
Woods makes sense.
Lamont says he sounds like Andrew Luck. Nah, no, Andrew Luck sounded like he was puts the lotion on his skin.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Tiger Woods. I don't know. I do know this. When we come back, we'll hear from Roger Goodell. That will do on the other side about this deal. And trust me, it is kind of a big deal what's going on right now. Hey, I got to tell you right now what's going on at Chastang Ford. Chastang Ford has got the order banks are now open. The F-150s, the Bronco Sports, the Explorer, the Ranger, the Edge, no markups. You do not pay MSRP on order vehicles, period. No add-ons. You're going to get rebates. You're going to pay less. And the other dealerships don't do that. They're trying to gouge. As a matter of fact, they will mark you up. They are going to say, hey, it's another $5,000 because it's just so hard to get them right now. At Chastang Ford, they don't do that, period. No dealer add-ons, paint seal, fabric seal, window etching, none of that stuff. You don't want it, you don't get it. You get what you want. You build it and price it your way, and your Ford is going to be exactly how you want it. Now, I've been telling you about this mobile service for fleet and commercial. If you've got a business and you've got a fleet or you've got commercial vehicles, they will come to you, okay? And in a lot of instances, it's the same price as being as doing it at the dealership. In a lot of instances, especially fleets, you're going to get discounts on fleets too. So if you're looking for a great way to service your vehicles, do everything that you need for your vehicles, it's at one place. It's at Chastang Ford. Love these people. You're going to love these people too. ChastangFord.com. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Well, good news, Lance. I don't know if you've seen. China's discovered a new potentially fatal virus within its borders. It's called...
No one leads the league in pandemic viruses quite like China.
It's the Lengua... Henipavirus. 35 people already affected.
I mean,
and they're saying it could be a worldwide pandemic again.
Cool. Right. Thanks, China.
Thanks, China.
Sweet.
Yeah. You guys are.
You guys make everyone.
No,
stay
they
in their
are
houses.
Definitely.
What do you think? They make everyone stay in their houses, and like they have the strictest lockdown stuff, and they have the most. They have the most pandemic level diseases, and I mean, can y'all just stop? Can y'all stop having pandemics?
They are the Dodgers of pandemics. They're just leading the league. They're crushing everybody.
The Dodgers are the Warriors. Congratulations.
Yeah. I mean,
congratulations on your dynasty.
Yeah. Oh, our good friend Hayden's going to school. Second grade is starting today, Lance.
Oh.
Our good friend Hayden
is
out there. Yeah. Yeah. Busting butt. She's going to be, I mean, she is something. She is going to be something, that Hayden. She's crushing it in second grade. She's not nervous at all. That's great. So, Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell wants a year. You know what? That's good news, isn't it?
Why? And oh, Roger, for us?
Yeah, that's great news for us.
Yeah. We mean the Texans draft pick.
Right.
That's what we refer to us.
Right. We mean the Texans get a higher draft pick. There's no question. Deshaun Watson out a year helps the Texans much more than six games.
Oh, yeah.
There's no question.
No question.
No question. Jacoby Brissett for a year. If it is a year, do they go get Garoppolo? I would think so. I would think so.
The problem is you don't have the money to pay $24 million.
Well, he's going to get cut.
Okay, well, if he gets cut, I would add him. Yeah, if he gets cut, I would.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's going to give him. I mean, nobody's going to give him the 24. Nobody's going
to
give
you
him
You have to wait until he gets cut, and then I would add him if he wants to go there, if his age. And why would he not? He has the best chance to start and make money.
Right. Here's Goodell. We'll get to that in just a second. Here's Goodell talking about the evidence calling for a year.
Well, as you know, it's part of the CBA. The two parties had that right. Either party could certainly challenge and appeal that. And that was something that we thought was our right to do, as well as the NFLPS, and we decided it was the right thing to do.
Why go back to seeking the full year suspension?
Because we've seen the evidence. She was very clear about the evidence. She reinforced the evidence. That there was multiple violations here, and they were egregious, and it was predatory behavior. Those are things that we felt, we always felt were really important for us to address in a way that's responsible.
So they're going for it. This is Roger Goodell's handpicked guy, Peter C. Harvey. He overseeing this thing. He is on one of the boards, the NFL boards.
Former Attorney General of New Jersey.
Former Attorney General. I mean, you know, he knows the law, obviously. He'll see the evidence. This is different than the law, though. So this is the NFL's law. So we'll find out what and it's supposed to come down soon. It's not like they're getting, there's more evidence coming forward. It's not like there's going to be more testimony. All he's doing is looking at this. And the originally when the NFL appealed, they said this is not going to take a long time. So we should get news pretty soon what's going to happen with him. We'll find out how Peter C. Harvey sees it. But if he sees it as a year, I guess Watson's team is going to go try to take it to court. I think that's going to get kicked out of court, and we will find out how that all works out.
An interesting twist is that Harvey helped develop the current version of the personal conduct policy. So he's intimately familiar with what the conduct policy is, how it was shaped after the Ray Rice incident, and he also advised the commissioner in connection with the Ezekiel Elliott case. In that case, Harvey said he believed Elliott's accuser, because of the presence of contemporaneous activities corroborating her claims, i.e. photos taken on the days that injuries were sustained and sent to third parties. That's what's going to be interesting, is he has been involved in advising on the Ezekiel Elliott case, which ended up being six games, and he has helped to create the personal conduct policy. So he understands what the personal conduct policy is supposed to be about, and I think there's many people who believe that this is, many people, it doesn't matter, in the commissioner side, that believe that what Deshaun Watson has done, the amount of issues facing Deshaun Watson or that he may have been involved in, based on, as you just heard Roger Goodell said, the evidence that they have through their investigation, that this warrants a new precedent on personal conduct, that this is something that the league has not yet seen in terms of sexual misconduct. So we'll see.
No.
We'll see.
Yeah, the sheer number. And again, the tarnishing of the shield. I mean,
well, the COVID violation thing, too, is I wouldn't just set that aside. And not that he would get suspended a year for COVID violation, but what it does is it now puts in play there's multiple violations. Having not just what Deshaun is alleged to have done with the women, not just that, but that he willfully multiple times flaunted the COVID protocol, which was I'm just telling you, I know a lot of you guys don't remember this, but it was a major, major, major deal in NFL circles, because they were worried about their entire league shutting down. Players wanted to get paid. Owners wanted to try to lose as little as they could, despite not having people in the stands. So it was that was considered, for a quarterback to do that would have been considered really, it would have been heavily penalized. And if the Texans were ever found out to be willing to, and I think that's something that could get them fined by the league, is the league saying they'd have to know that Deshaun Watson was, well, I mean, they apparently somebody got him a massage table. So you would know that Deshaun is, if he's going to get a massage, it doesn't mean you know what's going to happen, what he's going to do to people inside a massage. But what it does mean, what it could mean, is that you knew that he was, you know, going to go outside of the league standards for personal massage. It wouldn't shock me if the league ended up fining the Texans a little bit very quietly.
No. As some say, the Texans should be, you know.
Although some would
anyway.
Also say the fact that they had to that they had settlements with every person, like, that they weren't even involved with. They're settling with everybody, and they're like, I didn't do anything with the Texans. We just want to give you money. Can we give you some money?
Yeah,
okay.
We're sorry. We're sorry for Deshaun.
We're sorry Deshaun
money.
Did this.
Yeah.
Here's some money.
Yeah, I could go, hey, if they want to give me some money, I feel bad Deshaun did that too.
I'm just curious about what the appellate process looks like to the appeal. Like, there's talk about NFLPA trying to take it to Supreme Court. You know, this is, and that Deshaun Watson could end up playing. The Deshaun Watson, the NFLPA could aggressively pursue an injunction, from what I understand, and that would allow Deshaun Watson to play right now. Man, knowing the money that's involved, if I'm Deshaun, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to take the fine and sit out here as opposed to next year. Because if next year, if you wait this out and it's a full year next year, that's way more money you're going to lose and potentially get fined.
Yeah, I think they're going to, use everything they can. They're going to do everything they can to get him on the field to lessen that suspension. But hey, this is the judges are very wary to mess with collective bargaining agreements.
Yeah.
So this is the what they the players bargained for, and this is what they got. So you know what? That's and I think a judge will look at it that way and say, hey.
But judges are also very wary, as we've seen, of messing with precedent too. So Sue Robinson, a lot of people thought Sue Robinson was going to hand out a year. She didn't. Let's see what happens with Peter Harvey. If he goes a year, I once again, I'm going to say this. I think the NFL's throwing out year to make that the expectation, even if that is what they want. And then if Harvey comes back with less than that, it looks like a more moderate, you know, land in the middle type of 10-game situation where, well, see, we didn't get what we wanted. It ends up being 10 games instead of the 17 games we wanted. So I'm still not ruling out 10 to 12 games, which to me is almost worse for the Browns, because 10 to 12 games could end up knocking him out of the playoffs and would allow Deshaun Watson to have a year served with his contract so he gets to the big – because if you're Cleveland, if you know Deshaun's going to be out 12 games, you might even say, you know what, let's just make it 17 so his contract doesn't start till next year.
Yeah, so now he's got his full contract. We got him for 5 years still. Let's take a break, and when we come back, a couple of things. We had a fight on the air, and we've got a new sport that puts Slapfest to shame that we have to talk about.
This sport could only start in Russia. And sure enough, I saw the names, and I'm like, yep, Russian.
Yep. All right, when we come back, we'll talk about it. But first, you're going to talk about Kinetics.
QC Kinetics reached out to my wife. They're setting up the appointment. We're finally going to get going. She's already talking about, well, maybe if I go to Berlin Marathon, I could run some of it and walk some of it. And I said, look, let's just get you right. Let's go to QC Kinetics, get them to take a look. The first step is going through the consultation process, because they've got to determine what's going on. You know, I'm sure they're going to order different types of MRIs, see exactly what's going on in that knee. I know we had a set of MRIs done independently where they said there's no cartilage, it's grade 4, but I want to get the experts from QC Kinetics to give a look, because I know what they do. I know what they've done for professional athletes like Emmett Smith, for example, who speaks for them. I know what they have done for some of our listeners. I've already heard from 3 of them. I know what they can do on a national level, because I researched them before I ever spoke for them. I actually heard about them and looked into them because of my wife's knee issue. And I'm telling you now, biological therapies, this is the way to go. They take the healing property of the bodies, they take them out, they hyper-concentrate them with healing, you know, properties additional, and then they put them back into the joints, and it starts to work on the frayed, damaged tissue, and it can not only regenerate or heal, but also regenerate that tissue so that your chronic pain in your knee, your back, your hip, your ankle, wherever it is, it starts to go away. So this is a big, big opportunity for you to get right without surgery, shots, downtime, drugs. Why would you not look into this? 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285. Or check out the website for QC Kinetics right here in Houston, ready to take care of you. Call for your consultation today. It's QC Kinetics.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.